All right, we're in our passage in Deuteronomy chapter 4 as we've been going through the Bible verse by verse of the Old Testament here. And I mentioned to you last time this Deuteronomy 4 is a very rich passage. There's a lot in here. Last time we were able to make it through the first 14 verses. I was tempted to just read through that again because there's so much in there. I want to review some of the lessons that we got from that passage, though. One of the things we saw, and this is so important when it comes to the Word of God, that Moses was teaching them not just for head knowledge, but he was teaching them to obey the Lord. And man, we've got to get that one down. Because there are churches out there that teach the Bible, but it's coming across as for head knowledge. And it isn't like the Lord's going to give us a test one day and say, I'm going to see how much information you packed in there, you know. But the thing is, how much are we walking with the Lord? How much are we obeying Him? That's what we're trying to do. That's what we're striving for. So we see that all the way back here, and it's all through the Scripture that Moses was teaching them for obedience' sake, not for head knowledge. I remember Jesus said that too. He mentioned that last time when He said, make disciples. He said, teaching them to observe all things that I commanded you. Not teaching them all things I commanded you, but to observe or to obey all things. So we've got to get that. If we obey the Lord and what He tells us, then we have spiritual growth in our life. If we just get it for head knowledge, you end up becoming a Pharisee. And that's dangerous to other people. So we don't want to do that. Another lesson we learned that ties right into that is obedience leads to life and it leads to abundant living. The disobedience leads to judgment and discipline. And the Lord reminded them of the incident there with the Moabite women and how that brought judgment for those who disobeyed, but for those who did not go that direction and have relations with them and worship against God, for those they were still alive to this day. So that the idea that obedience, holding on to the Lord, it leads to life and abundant living there. The other thing too is the Lord tells them all through this passage, and we'll see it again today, be careful to obey completely what the Lord says. Not adding to or taking away from His word, but doing exactly the way God said to do it. And the danger with that is sometimes we think we know better than God. So we'll say, I know what the Bible says, but. And that's really dangerous, whatever comes out after that. Okay, because you're not smarter than God. None of us are. And you can't take away from what He said and you can't add to what He says. So He warns them up front, do this exactly the way I told you. This is the best way. It's the perfect way. So don't alter from that. Then we talked about the phrases that the Lord used here. He talked about, He said to observe. He said to keep. He said to hold fast. And all of those are a heavy emphasis on obedience, a very heavy emphasis on obedience. And man, can you imagine if the body of Christ today, all the folks in our culture, if they were all obedient to the Lord, how different we would look from the world, you know? A lot of times it seems like the church kind of blends in to the world, but we're following a holy God and our life should reflect that holiness. We should be looking different. And that only happens as we obey the Lord. Also, he mentions in that section there that there are no greater statutes and righteous judgments than those that the Lord gave to His people. And also that any nation that would carefully follow those decrees of the Lord, they will be a great nation. And unfortunately, you don't see nations doing that anymore. Even our nation is thinking somehow that it's smarter to turn away from God. And you see that we're just falling off the cliff by doing that. But the Lord tells us here, you won't find any better judgments than His. You won't find any more righteous judgments than the ones that He gives us in His Word. That's why I praise the Lord. You know, at the beginning of our country, they taught the lawyers all had to study the Word of God in order to become a lawyer in this land. Because you don't find any higher, any more righteous rulings than what God gives us. Also, I told you there's a lot of lessons in that first section there. There was a heavy emphasis on being careful how we live. And the Lord says to watch ourselves closely. And he knows. He says there, lest we forget, and lest God's teachings depart from our heart. So the idea is that you're either going forward with the Lord or you're falling back and you're losing ground. And the Lord says to be very careful. Because it's so easy for us. If we just don't pay attention, all of a sudden, the things of the Lord, we're walking away from them. We're drifting. They're not leaving us. We're the ones walking away from them. So the Lord warns us, be very careful how you live. Watch yourselves closely. And again, that's part of our need to study the Word of God, to continue to hang in there and go deeper and further with the Lord. Then he tells them at the last part of that section there that they were to teach these things, including their personal testimonies, to their children and their grandchildren. And that's a beautiful plan of discipleship, man. If you keep that going, generation after generation, that the people of God should be continuing to grow and spread and multiply and see a whole bunch of folks living for the Lord. And we were talking about this the other night, that seems to be something missing in the body of Christ today. Not a lot of personal discipleship, and especially not in the family where it's supposed to be. You know, you don't leave the teaching of God to the church. That's supposed to be in the home. And man, you see a difference in homes where they try to leave the church and let them deal with it, but they don't live for the Lord themselves through the time period of the week. It's a huge difference. So this is something, again, that's just the first 14 verses of that chapter, some of the heavy lessons we got out of there. Well, let's jump in at verse 15 in Deuteronomy chapter 4. It says, take careful heed. There's that warning again. Take careful heed to yourselves, for you saw no form when the Lord spoke to you at Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest you act corruptly and make for yourselves a carved image in the form of any figure. And he's reminding them that when the Lord appeared, he came down in the fire and everything on the mountain, and Moses was the only one that went up there, remember, and the Lord communicated with him, and they were able to, the Lord said, have the people come close enough to hear, but don't touch the mountain, you know, but you can come close, and they heard the voice of God, and they saw the fire and everything. But he reminds them here, you didn't see any form when you saw that. All you heard was the voice of God. And it's because God is spirit, right? And he knows that we're tempted a lot of times to come up with some kind of idol, that we want to see something. But he says here, take careful heed to yourselves, that you, for you saw no form when the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. And he says, if you end up making a idol in verse 16, lest you act corruptly and make for yourself a carved image in the form of any figure. Now he says that, take careful heed, because the Lord knows how easy it is for us to develop in our idols in our life too. And he says when we do that, that phrase there, you're acting corruptly. Now think about it. That means that you're not pure, that you're not obedient, but you're acting corruptly. And man, we don't want to have a testimony like that, you know? You know, when we talk about the corruption in politics and how that aggravates us and irritates us, you know, to think there's so much corruption there. Well, we hope that we have that same attitude about ourselves, that we don't want to have that kind of corruption in us to say, I'm living for the world. I'm not really living for the Lord. I'm not really giving myself committed to Him. We don't want to, we hope that kind of corruption in us would just irritate us the same way. And the thing is, we can't worship anything else but the Lord in this world. There's a lot of temptation around us to worship other things, but we want to worship the Lord in Him only, you know. And we need to tell ourselves, don't be corrupt. Only worship the Lord. Because we know there's temptations around us everywhere. And the Lord is going to warn them very clearly here, okay? Now, when the Lord spoke to them at Horeb out of the fire, that was a powerful experience. I mean, if you can picture that in your mind, here they are up to this mountain, and man, there's just fire, and there was deep darkness. And what an amazing picture having that behind the background with this fire there. And God is in that. That's His presence there, that fire. The thing is, though, don't let the enemy use an experience like that or any experience against you, okay? The devil doesn't play fair. He is dirty as can be, okay? So like these folks in the passage here, we need to use our experiences correctly and learn from them. That's what they're for, that we would learn from the experience and that we wouldn't worship the experience. Because there's a lot of that going on in the churches today too, where people are glorifying experience, you know. We need to walk with the Lord. And that's going to be an experience in itself, just to walk with Him. Don't go chasing an experience that you heard maybe somebody else had this experience and you want to have that too, because you end up worshiping the experience. We're going to talk about that some more too, what we really need to focus on. When you and I have an experience with the Lord, that's there that we might learn from it. Okay, that's the whole purpose of that. Now again, the Lord said here, he said, you didn't see any form when I spoke to you in that mountain. So God is spirit, and he's warning them in great detail here not to let this enter in their life, to worship any kind of visible form. Okay, and some have said, even in our time period today, with all the graphic capabilities we have, you know, some of the films that we have out, when they're trying to picture and bring the story of Jesus to life, don't worship that Jesus there. That's just a picture, you know what I mean? So be careful not to make that your idol. Sometimes they can make those Jesus in there look kind of attractive, you know. I noticed that one that came out recently here, they got him the blue-eyed, you know, blonde-haired beach guy or something. It's like, that's not Jesus, you know. Don't think about any form like that. Our Lord is spirit, and we will see Jesus one day, and he will be awesome in his magnificence and his glory. Okay, so just some warnings the Lord gives us here. He goes on, as he says there at the end of verse 16, don't make for yourselves a carved image in the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any animal that is on the earth. I wonder if they were thinking about Aaron popping that calf out for him there, you know. Or the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the air, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, or the likeness of any fish that is in the water beneath the earth. And take heed lest you lift your eyes to heaven, and when you see the sun, the moon, and the stars, all the host of heaven, you feel driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord your God has given to all the peoples under the whole heaven as a heritage. So, to me, it's a shameful thing that the Lord has to be so specific here. But he knows us. He knows what people are like. You give us a little room and we'll make an idol out of it, you know. So the Lord says, don't do anything. And he has to say all these things because a lot of the pagan cultures around them are worshiping every one of those things, you know. Even today, I think not too long ago, we were talking about some of the Oriental places you might go, and they have these little bitty temples set up, you know, paper temples they have on the corners all over the town and everything. It's like, that's your God, that little thing right there lives in that thing, you know. He must have a tiny God. Our God is the one that created the universe. That's the one we want to know, we want to worship, we want to walk with. But can you imagine someone even making a God that little? I mean, we'll make a God out of anything you give us room. So we dare not touch what the Lord said, don't touch. If he says, leave it, just as this no form that you worship, just the focus on this God who is spirit, leave it at that, okay? So yeah, the Lord has to say that. Now somebody said this, and this is really important, because the Lord here is showing all these things through his word, right? When the word isn't good enough for us, somebody said, then we're just one step away from idolatry. Think about that. Because again, that goes back to that experience that has been brought into the churches that, oh, you want to have this experience. If the word's not good enough, man, you're in a dangerous place. You know, you've got to have the word. That's the only safe anchor that we have. The Lord does deal with us personally, but it's not to be worshipped. Again, it's to be learned from. So be very careful. Now, when you look at verse 19, did you notice that what it says? Even it says, when you lift your eyes to heaven, and when you see these things, the sun, the moon, and the stars, and all the host of heaven, and the Lord says he's given them to all the peoples under the whole heaven as a heritage, those things are not to be worshipped. They're to say, wow, look at the magnificence and beauty of those things. And that points to the glory of God, the Lord tells us. When we see that, we should say, wow, who could have created all this? They must be awesome, whoever created all these things, but not worship those things, you know. But did you notice what it says there? When you see all these things, it says all the host of heaven and everything, and you feel driven to worship them and serve them. The devil likes to use our feelings against us, so we have to be especially careful in that area of feelings, okay? Man, the Lord has been bringing this across my studies the last couple of weeks about the danger of our feelings. Because we have them all the time, you know. We said the other night, you might wake up in the morning and feel really great, and you don't know why. That's your feelings. And you might wake up and feel really bad, and you don't know why. That's our feelings. They're like roller coasters. They go up and down. Man, Don't put all your trust and weight in them. And the devil can even use those against us. I found it was interesting. I don't know if you noticed this. If a Mormon came to your door and they tell you, I want you to read this passage, a section from the Book of Mormon. And then they say this, after you read that section, see if it makes you feel good. Now, if you've had anybody do that, they do that when they come to your door. That's one of the things they try to do. They'll say, just read that. And, man, did you feel that? You feel that warmth inside of you? And they start going on in that. Well, I told them one time when they were telling me this at the door, I said, you know what? Our feelings are not a good test. Adultery must feel good or people wouldn't do it. I don't think it's a good test to go by our feelings, you know. And that goes for a whole bunch of other sins, too. They must feel good or we wouldn't do them, right? So, yeah, the feelings are a horrible test for something to say, is this of the Lord or not? What do we have to go back to? The Word of God. That's the only thing that's safe for us to go to. So the Lord warns them here. He said, man, when you're looking at them stars, and they're awe-inspiring, right? I mean, you look at the beauty of the heavens, and especially if you can get away from the city lights and see all the stars that start to show up there. And then you have those feelings. He said, don't let them desire those feelings lead you to worship those things. Worship the one who created those things. Nothing wrong with feelings, okay? God gave them to us, but we use them the right way. If you want to get all inspired by that, say, thank you, God, you created all this. I give you the praise for this. But don't stop short and praise the things that God made there. Praise Him alone. Now, verse 20 says, but the Lord has taken you, and He's brought you out of the iron furnace, out of Egypt, to be His people, an inheritance, as you are this day. So since the Lord rescued the Israelites out of Egypt, and I love the way he says this, he says, I took you and I brought you out. You know, that just brings a picture in my mind when we talk about the rapture. The Lord's going to take us one day and he's going to bring us out of this place too. That we're going to be safe with him for all eternity. And it's going to be an awesome thing that he takes us and brings us to himself. This is a picture right here. As he said, he did this to the Israelites when they're in Egypt. He grabbed them and he took them out of that place. But since the Lord rescued them out of Egypt, they belong to him. Okay? He didn't rescue them and he didn't rescue us from sin so that we might go back to the world and live for the world. That's not why he did that. We were both rescued to be his people. All right, and that's what we want to hold on to. Lord, you rescued me from my sin. I know my sin was taking me to hell, that I was headed for the lake of fire. I was headed for the judgment of God. And Lord Jesus rescued me when he went to the cross. And he rescued me that I might belong to him. That's such an awesome thing. It's not the idea that you're my slave now. He rescued us that we might be his bride. It's a loving thing that he did. And that's what he did for these people here. A very loving thing. And do you notice what he called his people there? He said when he brought them out of Egypt to be his people, he said an inheritance. What is an inheritance? You think about that. An inheritance is something valuable, right? When you say I want to leave an inheritance to my children, to my family, you're not saying I want to leave my junk, right? You're saying I want to leave something valuable. So the Lord saw those people as valuable. Now think about this. You go back and read the story. What were they doing when they were in Egypt? They were slaves, right? They were treated harshly. They were complaining and bellyaching and even mad at God. Why did he put us in this place? And God says, you're an inheritance. Isn't that amazing? When he looks at you and me, he sees this as something valuable. Even though we're grumbling and complaining and everything going on, and we look in the mirror and we say, Lord, I don't know why you want to be with that guy, but I praise the Lord you do. He sees us as valuable. Yeah, we just praise the Lord for that. And we're extremely valuable in his sight. This is so amazing. It's so awesome. We've got so many reasons to worship our Lord. When you think about this. Verse 21, it goes on. Furthermore, as the Lord was angry with me, Moses says, for your sakes. You're the ones who brought me to the point of anger and I messed up there. And he said he swore that I would not cross over the Jordan and that I would not enter the good land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. But I must die in this land. I must not cross over the Jordan. But you shall cross over and possess that good land. And Moses was saying that He doesn't even get to go into the land, but they get to go in. So he's saying, so don't waste such a privilege. Wow, an amazing thing. You know, the Lord calls us to walk into the Spirit-filled life. There are folks who choose never to go there. You know, there are folks who are not going to walk that close to the Lord. They're going to stay outside the promised land, outside of the Spirit-filled life. It's such a privilege to be able to say, Lord, take my entire life, take every cell of my being and use it for your glory. That's an honor and a privilege. Moses longed to be in that place. And God said, no, I can't do that. If I let you go in and be a picture that I'm okay with sin and I'm not okay, that consequence has to remain to let people know sin is serious. When God tells you something so clear and so plain, do not violate what he said. Wow, scary picture. Verse 23, take heed to yourselves. There's that warning again, very strong warning. Take heed to yourselves. And he says, why? Lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make for yourselves a carved image in the form of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. So I say, be careful not to forget your covenant. Isn't that amazing? Be careful lest you forget. How could you forget? How can we forget, you know, that Jesus bought us with his own blood? How can we wake up in the morning and not have that on our mind? But the Lord knows us, you know. We're easy to forget. The Lord warns them not to make an idol, because what he just described, if they make an idol in their life, it means they forgot the covenant. You know what? We mess up in our life. We worship anything in this world. We give it more love and attention than we give to the Lord. We forgot the covenant, man. We forgot what Jesus did. So to worship anything else is to forget the covenant. And the Lord doesn't take kindly to that, you know. Notice what it says here. It's kind of interesting. It says in verse 24, for the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. Now, you know, some people, I looked at that too, that consuming fire as being a scary thing, but I don't think that's what God's trying to get across here, because he's talking about his love for these people. He's a jealous God. He loves them, you know? And the picture here, I think, because he's talked about him being in the fire on the mountain, you know, when he came down and they didn't see his form, but he spoke to them from the fire. Now, think about this. Why does it say a consuming fire? What does a fire do, a consuming fire? It makes everything it touches fire, right? So God touches us and we become fire. We become like him. And that's a good thing. He wants to touch us. He wants to consume us with himself because he loves us so much. That's why he wants to do that. And Lord says he's a jealous God. He's jealous for his people. He loves us deeply. He doesn't share his people with anything else. Just like a good husband doesn't want to share his wife with another man. Our good wife, she doesn't want to share her husband with another woman. Remember, in this love relationship, we're to love the Lord with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our strength. We're to love him, and he alone deserves all of our worship. Verse 25 goes on, when you beget children and grandchildren and have grown old in the land and act corruptly and make a carved image. Notice again he said, making a carved image is acting corruptly. He says, when you make a carved image in the form of anything and you do evil in the sight of the Lord your God to provoke him to anger. God is not pleased with any kind of idol. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that you will soon utterly perish from the land. He said, when this happens, when you do this, here's going to be the result. You will soon utterly perish from the land. You're out of here, which you cross over the Jordan to possess that land. You will not prolong your days in it, but will be utterly destroyed. That's a pretty stiff warning from the Lord. And the Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in number among the nations where the Lord will drive you. And there you will serve gods, the work of men's hands. Talk about in Babylon when they're taken there. Wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. He said, you get into idolatry, I will let you go fully into idolatry, into another place, but you're not going to have it here. I will take you from this land, and I will basically put your face in it if that's what you want. And you'll get to worship these dead things, things that don't see, hear, eat, or smell. There's no life in them at all. Now, the Lord here was speaking prophetically because he knew the days were going to come when they would turn so far away from the Lord. They get so deep in idolatry that God was just a ritual to them. It had no meaning at all as far as a love relationship. And you know what? The Lord knew when he saved you and me that time would come when we would disobey him and maybe even run away from him. He knew those days were coming, even when he brought us to himself. But the Lord is so faithful to his people. And he loves them enough to discipline them again and again and again. And he does it with us too. And we praise him for that discipline. Verse 29, it says this. But from there, okay, after the Babylon incident, you will seek the Lord your God. And you will find him. Look at the disclaimer now. If you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. Now think about this. Even in that place of disobedience, which the Lord's going to let them get fully into. He's going to have them drug away to Babylon, and they'll be in the midst of that idolatrous place. Even in that place of disobedience, the Lord makes a way for us to come back to him. But we must be sincere and fully committed. Because he said, if you seek me with all your heart and with all your soul. The Lord does not accept the half-hearted. He deserves to be first place in our lives. There's nothing less that we should give to the Lord. Verse 30, it says, when you are in distress, and this is very interesting here, the Lord again speaking about the future, that word distress, you may even have a footnote in your Bible, that word distress is the word tribulation. Think about this. He says, when you are in tribulation, and that's coming for Israel, they're not going to receive their Messiah until they go into the tribulation period. When you are in tribulation, that distress, and all these things come upon you, when? In the latter days. When you turn to the Lord your God and obey his voice, when that happens, it says, for the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not forsake you nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers which he swore to them. The Lord jumps all the way to the point of the tribulation here and lets them know the future. He said when something that hasn't even happened yet in our time period, that's how far ahead he's jumping. But notice what he says to them, when you're in the midst of all that in the latter days, when you turn to the Lord your God, it's going to happen. And he talks about that further in the Old Testament. Israel is going to find their Messiah. There will be a remnant of Israel that will be saved. They will find their Messiah. And he says, when, not if, but when they turn to the Lord. Notice he says, when you turn to the Lord and you obey his voice. That's the call of God. Turn to him and obey. Both of those things. You can't miss it on the whole thing. God wants all of our heart, not part of it. Verse 31 goes on there. It says, for the Lord your God is a merciful God. That's why repentance is possible, because he's a merciful God. That's the only reason we can repent. Because he's a merciful God. A mercy means he doesn't give us what we deserve. That's his mercy. He doesn't give us what we really should have coming for us. Because you know what our disobedience deserves? It's the exact opposite of what he said here. We deserve for him to forsake us. We deserve for him to destroy us. We deserve for him to forget the covenant that is there. And you know what? It's amazing. He made that covenant for us. And even a covenant he made here is what he's talking about. So when we're willing to turn and obey, the Lord is anxious and he's willing to draw us to himself. It's like the prodigal son. The Lord wants us to come home. He's waiting. That amazing picture of God. We're such a mess, aren't we? But God is so loving. He loves us so much. It goes on then in verse 32. For ask thou concerning the days that are past. He says, thinking about this, that the days which were before you, since the day that God created man on the earth, all the way back there, and asked from one end of heaven to the other, whether any great thing like this has happened or anything like this has been heard. So the Lord's telling them to think about this. Has any other God done what God has done for these people? Nobody. There is no God who would do anything like that. There's only one, right? Verse 33. Did any people ever hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire as you have heard and live? Yeah. So what about people hearing the voice of God? Do you realize that by listening to God's word, when you open the word and you read it, you hear the word through messages, through studies, when you hear the word, that you are hearing the voice of God? Have you thought about that? You know, and there's so many people in the world today that listen to all kinds of false gods, false ideas, even the stuff they conjure up in their own heads, you know? How blessed that you and I are when we listen to the voice of God. Every time you open the Word of God, it's such a blessing that you're hearing the voice of God. Isn't that amazing? Verse 34, or did God ever try to go and take for Himself a nation from the midst of another nation? You know, as the Lord took Israel out of Egypt there by trials, by signs, by wonders, by war, by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and by great terror. So the Lord went through a whole lot of trouble, didn't He, to bring Israel out, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes. You got to see all that take place. And what He's saying is that Israel is unique among all the nations of the world. Don't ever think that Israel is just like any other nation. I mean, I hear a guy on the radio say this, like, you've got to be kidding me. Have you not read the Old Testament and put the New with it? You know, come on now. Yeah, so the Lord describes it here as something He's only done for one particular nation. And He's doing that to show Himself strong. Okay, verse 35. To you it was shown. They got to see this. And here's the main point. Don't miss verse 35. That you might know that the Lord Himself is God. There is none other besides Him. This was God's message to them, and it's His message to the entire world that He created. Verse 36, out of heaven He let you hear His voice, that He might instruct you. Why does God let us hear His voice? That He might teach us, that we might learn. And it says, on earth He showed you His great fire. There's that picture of fire again, pointing to the Lord. And you heard His words out of the midst of the fire. Kind of interesting. The Lord says, out of heaven you heard my voice. On the earth you heard my voice. You just can't get away from the Lord. Huh? Then it says, and because He loved your fathers. And that's, by the way, we can find Happy Father's Day in there. But He said, and because He loved your fathers, therefore He chose their descendants after them. And He brought you out of Egypt with His presence and His mighty power. So why did God do all of this? It was love. And if it caught this, this is the first time in the Scriptures that He revealed His reason for doing all of this. Isn't that amazing? I mean, we can see the love of God as we watch His hand and watch what He does. But He comes right out here for the first time and He tells us, I did this because I loved your fathers. Why did He choose Israel? Because He loved their father. That's what He said right here. Because of love. That's an awesome thing. Verse 38 goes on. He said He did all that with His mighty power, driving out from before you, talking about getting them into the promised land now, driving out from before you nations greater and mightier than you to bring you in, to give you their land as an inheritance as it is this day. Do you realize they should not win those battles as they go into the land realistically? And you know what? There are things in our life that God has done for us that we probably shouldn't have made it as far as we have. Have you noticed that? Did you ever think about that? Times when your life could have ended, should have ended. And God said, I got to do something for you because I'm not done yet, man. There's more I'm doing in your life. Wow. Yeah. So the Lord says He took these nations they were fighting, they were tougher than them, and I'm going to drive them out. You know what? God's on your side. You don't have to worry about it. I don't care how big those giants are. Don't worry about it, man. Just hold on to the Lord. Stay close to Him. You're safe. Verse 39. Therefore, know this day and consider it in your heart. Man, take this stuff to heart. And here it is again. That the Lord Himself is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. There is no other. Wow. We need to keep hearing that, apparently, because God keeps telling us that, you know? What are you worshiping today? Are you worshiping anything other than the one true living God? There is nothing else to worship in this world, in this universe, than the one true living God. So the Lord repeats this again. He knows we don't listen, and He knows how easy we forget. He's the best there is, and there is no other. Verse 40, you shall therefore, because He's such a great, awesome God, and He's the only one, you shall therefore keep His statutes and His commandments, which I command you today. You're supposed to obey these things. And here's the reason, the result you'll find. Talk about bad consequences, these are good consequences. That it may go well with you and with your children after you. Don't you want to bless your kids? Obey the Lord, man. And that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord your God is giving you for all time. Now, when it mentions here that the Lord would prolong their days, that concept of prolonging the day doesn't mean that you actually have to live more days in the land. It means your days are longer, man. They're richer days in the land. That's prolonging your days. You want those days. You want to enjoy the rich, long blessings of the Lord, man. You want to just savor those things and not let them leave too quickly. And that's what the Lord wants for them. He wants them for us too. And notice it says at the end of that verse that the Lord your God is giving you this land for how long? For all time. You know, it's interesting too, that word giving there, it's in the present tense. It means He is continually giving them the land for all time. Right now, this moment, what's God doing with Israel? He's continually giving them the land. He always has. It's always been theirs. Because not because of them, because of God. He's working in their life. And He said, it's my gift to you. And guess what? It's for all time. It's an eternal gift from God. Man, that's awesome. For you and I, we have the eternal gift of life from God through Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord, man. Praise the Lord. So don't miss this. God wants us to obey Him so we can see that His ways really do work. He wants them to enjoy the life, man, to enjoy that land. And we know this, that things go much better if we do things the way He tells us. And you know what? If you follow God's ways, you are free. Think about that. You're free. The enemy wants to entangle you. He wants to trip you up. He wants to put chains on you. Our own flesh wants to be in bondage in this world, man. That's the direction it wants to go. It doesn't mind that. God wants us to be free. And we can be totally free if we do things God's way. Somebody said this. This passage here, this is one of those places where God calls us up to another level. He's calling us to get to a higher level. You know, and the more we're in His Word, the more He calls us to a higher place. And where is that? It's a place that's closer to Him. He's higher than us, right? He said, my ways are higher than your ways. And He's calling us to come on up. That's an awesome thing. You know, so many religions out there, their God is such a cruel, wicked, mean God. Hates people, wants to kill them, you know. They got to come groveling to Him and hopefully don't crush Him on the way, you know. Our God loves us so much, He's calling us to come closer to Him. He's calling us to come up to a higher level. Amazing picture. We're going to finish this next section quickly because we've gone through this before. But it says in verse 41, then Moses set apart three cities on the side of the Jordan toward the rising of the sun, that the manslayer might flee there, who kills his neighbor unintentionally, without having hated him in time past, and that by fleeing to one of these cities he might live. So it's a sanctuary for him, a place of safety, until they get a chance to have court ruling and can be free from what appears to be a bad crime, but it was innocently done. Verse 43, he names the cities Bezer in the wilderness on the plateau for the Reubenites, Ramoth and Gilead for the Gadites, and Golan in Bashan for the Manassites. Now, this is the law which Moses set before the children of Israel. These are the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which Moses spoke to the children of Israel after they came out of Egypt on this side of the Jordan, in the valley opposite of Beth Peor, in the land of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt at Heshbon, whom Moses and the children of Israel defeated after they came out of Egypt. And they took possession of his land and the land of Og, king of Bashan, two kings of the Amorites, who were on this side of the Jordan, toward the rising of the sun, from Arior, which is on the bank of the river Arnon, even to Mount Sion, that is Hermon, and all the plain on the east side of the Jordan, as far as the sea of the Arabah, below the slopes of Pisgah. So the Lord is naming the place where they're at, as he's telling them his statutes and reminding them again of those laws. Now, just one of the lessons we get from this passage is that God reminds us of the past. And he even reminds us of our past failures. But it's not to condemn us, and it's not to put us down. And remember that. Our past failures, when the Lord brings them up to us, that we might learn from them. We might learn never to make those mistakes again. And I know right now you're like me. You can think in a time past when you walked away from the Lord, when you were backslidden, when you did something that God didn't want you doing. Those thoughts come to mind. And they're not to condemn you or me. They're for God to let us see how ugly that looked, how wicked that was, how sorrowful we feel over that, and to say, Lord, I don't ever want to visit that place again. Let me walk forward into the promised land. Let me not ever go back to that place of wickedness in the world again. Let me see it as so ugly that I don't want to go there. Burn that into us, Lord. Another lesson is, even though these people here were going to mess up so bad and so often, and God identified that for them, even thousands of years later, as they're not walking with the Lord still, even so, God was going to be faithful to them. Amazing. God's going to be faithful to you and me too. He knew we were going to mess up when he saved us. But he's faithful even though we're not. He's always got his arms open. He's always ready for us to come back. If you're here today and you know in your heart you're not walking as close to the Lord as you should, he's not condemning you. He's not pushing you away. He's calling you to come closer. Calling you to come higher. God loves us so much. He just wants us to love him back. And we show our love by obedience to him. We're going to stop right here with our study. But you know what? The good news of the Bible is so simple. Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. He was buried and he rose again the third day. And the Lord says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will be saved. God loves you, so just believe that Jesus died for your sins. He paid for them completely on the cross. There isn't a thing you can do to add to that. You can't work your way to get any closer to God. He has already done it all. He's worked it for you. Jesus loves you, and that's why he took your sin. That's why he's rising. He rose again, that you might be forgiven. If you want forgiveness today from the Lord, all you have to do is come to Jesus. He's there waiting for you. As we close in prayer at this part of the service, man, if there's anything the Lord has poked you in the heart with right now, just take it back to him and say, Lord, I want to lay this at the cross. I want to be free today. I want to enjoy this Father's Day. And remember, you're the greatest Father of all. Let's pray. Father, someone is here today and they've never humbled their heart to receive Jesus. Today, Lord, I pray you would help them to be humble. Because, Lord, I know that you resist the proud, but you give grace to the humble, Lord. Help them to fight their pride and to surrender to you, Lord, and say, Lord Jesus, I know you died on the cross for me. And I know you paid for my sins because you said it's finished. And I know you rose again from the dead and you are the Son of God. And I thank you that you did this, and I ask you to completely forgive me, Lord. Help me to walk close with you. Fill me with your Spirit. Let me live for you all the days of my life. Father, if there's a believer here today and they brought a burden with them, a burden that you didn't want them to have to carry, help them, Lord, just to drop it at the cross. Help them to set it before you that you can deal with it, Lord, when we can't. Help them be free in Christ. Help us, Lord, just to commit ourselves totally, all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength for you, for every day of our life from now on. Father, thank you for always being faithful. Even when we mess up, Lord. We just want to give you all the praise, all the honor and glory in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.